Hello once again, everybody. Welcome to the world's favorite podcast. I can't believe we won the voting, but this is Initial Reaction. So thank you for joining us. My name is JP Gadorn, and I work for Time Warner Cable Sports Channel.
My name is J.R. Radcliffe. I work for Now Newspapers and Lake Country Publications. Who did you poll when you were asking who the world's favoriteest podcast or whatever you just termed us?
I've told you everything I know.
You just got something in the mail.
I've told you everything.
Saying that we are the world's most bestest.
I've told you everything I know about the topic.
Very well, very well. Well, yes, once again, talking about Wisconsin sports, prep sports in particular, and all the interesting topics that have made us such a world phenomenon, and lots to talk about today.
World phenomenon.
We are. We're a world phenomenon. You just told me that.
It's true.
The big thing on the docket in the near future is National Signing Day. That's a big deal locally. High school football players select their new destinations. And the reason this is interesting to me right now, I mean, it's actually never interesting to me. This is a holiday I could completely live without.
Really?
Yeah, it's just for football, it's something I could live without. And I can go into that.
I would think that you would love it, that this would be right up your alley.
Well, no, it's not. I can't stand the ranking systems that they put out
there
for these classes.
There's
no way to know anything about these kids. And Wisconsin history bears that out. They constantly get kids who are below the five-star rating, turn them into stars. So many examples the other way. But anyway, that is neither here nor there. There are some local Wisconsin products. We talked to David Pfaff from Homestead last week. He's going to the University of Wisconsin. Lots of recruiting buzz lately. Lots of movement. Paul Christ and his new staff, they signed some players from Wisconsin that weren't
originally.
Putting up
that fortress around the state border.
That's right. The walls have gone up.
Yeah.
And one of them, the big one, Alec Ingold, who was a quarterback at Bayport.
One of my favorite players that I've been talking about, I believe,
I
the entire season.
Yeah, you have.
it's annoying.
It's a little over the top, but he is now going to Wisconsin. He had a commitment, I believe, to Northern Illinois.
Correct.
So a re-canvassing, I guess you could call it, of Wisconsin. And were you surprised to see all of a sudden a new crop of Wisconsin players headed to UW?
No, I was not. And in fact, after Chris was hired, I said, I wonder if they're going to offer either Alec Ingold or James Morgan. James Morgan is the quarterback from Ashwaubenon High School.
Right.
Both are phenomenal quarterbacks that were not contacted by Wisconsin. We're not going to Wisconsin. Morgan is going to Bowling Green, and like you said, Ingold was going to Northern Illinois. So not surprised. I am surprised that they have Ingold and Zach Bond from Brown Deer playing outside linebacker at the next level. Neither of them are playing quarterback. Ingold, I guess I can see a little bit more. Ingold is also a wrestler for Bayport. Go figure, he's good at it too. but Bond is...
Yeah, I think he's undefeated.
Yeah. Right, and Bond is a... I mean, obviously they're both good quarterbacks, but I could see Bond playing quarterback at the next level, which is why I'm surprised that he's not. So yeah, Bond, he went from a gray shirt offer to a full scholarship offer. So congrats to him and Alec Ingold as well, David Pfaff, Elijah Strong from Oak Creek, I believe, is still walking on at Wisconsin. And then Troy Loffenberg from Wanakee is now going to Wisconsin as well. That was a late commit last week. Also interesting, Vince Hughes from Franklin is another Northern Illinois commit. His offer was kind of increased by Wisconsin, just like Zach Bond's was. But he declined that offer, and he is staying with his Northern Illinois commitment. And then the other big recruiting news is Robert Windsor from Fond du Lac. He was between Wisconsin and Penn State. He will be a Nittany Lion next
year.
Yeah.
It's rare to see, guys choosing other Big Ten schools, but
for sure.
He's obviously a very special talent. I go two ways with this, thinking about it. On the one hand, it did seem like Gary Anderson had a slipping relationship with the state of Wisconsin and the recruits therein. It seemed like this was going to be a very small class of Wisconsin kids heading into the program. And we've talked about before how coaches weren't necessarily they didn't feel the connection with him the way that they had felt with previous regimes, with Paul Christ, with Brett Bielema, with Barry Alvarez. So this definitely shows, okay, we're in Wisconsin, we're going to recommit to Wisconsin as they bring in additional guys. On the other hand, it's kind of, it makes me a little nervous because Wisconsin is not thought of as one of the top high school talent beds in the United States, and all of a sudden they've changed their minds on a few Wisconsin kids, and it's like, well, what was it about them in the first place that they weren't going to be there in the first place? It's almost like when there's a late blooming college prospect, it makes you nervous because you wonder, well, he wasn't ranked for a reason, and now all of a sudden he's on their list. So it always I could go two ways about it. I mean, the bottom line is it's impossible to project what high school kids will do at the college level once their career is through. Many of them will not see the field right away, so it's really, you know, they're going to be a year removed from now through the college weight program and everything before they even step on the field. So sometimes it's a little hard to even prognosticate at all.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty much done trying to understand Gary Anderson's thought process at this point.
No doubt. Anything.
I think I'm just kind of purely 100% moved on from that. And I'm totally fine if I never have to answer what Gary Anderson did or why he left or anything or why he was or wasn't recruiting somebody. I'm pretty good just being done with him.
I think I hit a wall with him with the whole standards thing.
Yeah, the academic standards. That was my cutoff point.
Everyone knew that was going to be an issue, but for him to say that, the same guy who benched Melvin Gordon mysteriously, presumably
ridiculous.
For speaking up about something at halftime, how can you have standards there when it matters on the field? But whatever.
He's ridiculous. So that's my Gary Anderson thought. But then just to kind of finish what you were saying about how you didn't like signing day, which I found interesting, this is the one reason why I don't. And mostly I do. I think I have like 7 reasons that I do and maybe 3 that I don't like it. But the biggest one for me is that, okay, so we have just focused on the 5 in-state kids going to Wisconsin because awesome, awesome football players staying in-state to play. That's cool. There are thousands of other athletes around Wisconsin that have worked maybe not just as hard, but really, really, really hard. And, like, we're not going to talk about them at all. And that just kind of sucks.
Right.
For instance, there's a couple kids still going to Northern Illinois, like Vince Hughes, Marcus Kelly over at Waukesha West, Dyson Schmer going to New Mexico. We talked about Windsor going to Penn State. And that's just football. I mean, think about all the kids are soccer, basketball, cross country, swimming and diving. Obviously, those sports are not as popular. That's okay. Sometimes you're not going to do the coolest thing in the world. But I just think it sucks that we have to ignore these kids. I mean, it's even in normal years, I would try to get to as many as I can, and I would get video of probably 10 players who are signing on a signing day. This year, I think we're only getting 4.
Really?
And John Dietzen of Seymour is another one who's going to Wisconsin, but he's already enrolled. It's just because this year, because of Paul Crist being in there and some new staff members, we're just doing an entire Badgers special. And it just kind of stinks that signing day is a big deal for a lot of people, even ones going to Division II, you know, like Minnesota Mankato or something. That's still really cool. That's still a billion times more athletic than I ever was. But yet they won't get covered. So that's kind of what I don't like about signing day.
Well, that's what Lake Country Publications and now newspapers
sure
are for.
I'm sure it is, buddy.
Nathan Velos of Oak Creek, I know, is another one who's got a big-time football opportunity in front of him. But, I respect that it's a great opportunity. It's sort of one of those, I forget what the term is, but pseudo-event, I think, is the term, where the whole signing on the dotted line, it's such a weird ceremony, in my opinion. I mean, it never used to be this big a deal, this much glitz for any of the sports. Certainly football takes the cake in terms of commanding the attention.
As long as there's not a hat dance, I'm all right with it.
What's a hat dance?
Hat dance is when you have your 3 hats in front of you, and then you pick one up and set it down and then say, just kidding, I'm going to LSU.
I can't stand that.
I know.
So
as long as that doesn't exist, we're fine.
Right, right. All right, well, when you said hat dance, I was thinking of that thing on the Brewers Jumbotron where they have a hat
like a crazy cap shuffle?
Yeah, the cap shuffle. So speaking of the Milwaukee Brewers,
it is
baseball season, sort of. Many, many Brewers were in town over the weekend to go attend Brewers on Deck. Lots of fans flocking to the event, thousands of fans who want to see their favorite Brewers personalities. J.P. Cadoran was there, I think. You were there, right?
Yeah, for a long time.
Yeah, I bet it was cold.
Inside it was probably about 72.
Okay, so it wasn't.
No, it was interesting. I think this is maybe the 5th, 6th year that it's been going on.
Yeah.
It is not my favorite event in the world, and I don't know why fans continue to go. Tell me otherwise, but you wait in line to pay money to get in, to wait in line to pay money to meet a baseball player for 20 seconds.
It's like me at an amusement park, because roller coasters make me sick. I've got one of those stomachs. Yeah. So I wait in line with my friends because I want to talk to them and not sit on a park bench all day. And then we get to the front and I just walk right through.
That's truly awful.
That's how I live.
All right. Fair enough.
I live my life waiting in line.
One of those things, huh?
Yeah, it is one of those things. So, yeah, it's a lot like that. But
so please tell me if I'm wrong. And, like, it, you know, I can understand also if you have, like, a five-year-old, you know, where he's idolizing some players or something like that. But it just doesn't seem like a very economic use of your time.
I think it's definitely geared towards getting you excited for baseball at a time when the weather is at its worst.
Correct.
Not necessarily the case this year, but typically speaking. And it's also just a very fluffy, let's get all the good news, good optimism out there for people to you know, chew on for a little bit.
And there was a lot.
Yeah, I know. And I was going to ask you from what you heard if there was anything really newsworthy. Because a lot of the stuff is just, you know, yeah, we expect this guy's going to have a great bounce back year.
Yeah.
And we're finally healthy and we were only really close. You know, we were really close to making the playoffs when you really think about it.
Mm-hmm. They were.
Was there anything from it that you could take away that really is interesting, you think?
I think a lot of it is interesting. None of it is newsworthy.
Got it.
You had just said. Yeah. I mean, it was, you basically nailed it verbatim of, you know, we're healthy. If we stay healthy, good things can happen. So close to the playoffs last year, which this is a point that I've tried to make a few times, and I don't know if it's caught on, so I'm going to try it again. They were sixth in the National League. In every other professional sport, they're a playoff team.
Sure.
In the NFL, they would be the sixth. I mean, they would be the last team in. NBA and NHL, they would be in. But because baseball is only five teams, we think of it as an epic collapse. Whereas if they would have made it in any of those other leagues, it would have been a collapse because they would have gone from first to sixth, but they still would have been in the playoffs. And then, of course, anything can happen. I don't think they would have won much because they couldn't do anything right at the end of last year, but at least they would have been in. So I think that's interesting that, yes, they were very, very close. And so one thing that was interesting is the way that they were spinning it, and yes, I acknowledge that it's spin, was that they focused less on the collapse and more of the fact that, look, we were in first place for 150 days. That means we were doing a lot of good things, and it's with exactly the same roster. You know, so right. So I understand the collapse, and I'm going to talk about it. There's a story running on it tomorrow. I'm not ignoring it, but part of that, and actually it's going to be next week's story, is how they did a lot of good things right, and there is reason for optimism.
I think the corollary to the explanation of being the sixth best team is that they were still just 82-80. So
sure.
In the NBA, we make fun of that process because there's always teams below 500 that make the playoffs. Yes, they get in. And in baseball, I would say getting in, you have a much greater chance of winning the whole thing than you do in the NBA. But it's kind of, to me, it goes without saying, they did not do enough last year when it looked like they were capable of doing it. I look back on the season, and I honestly, and maybe it's not even worth going back, retreading the retrospective, it never really, I don't look at it as a collapse because I just really thought they were playing over their heads. I mean, they had such a tremendous April, a through-the-roof April. And then sort
20
of
and
just
7, 20 and 8 20, for the month of April,
yeah,
but
yeah.
20 and 7 was their best record.
And then just kind of, I thought, glided slowly back to earth from there. And kudos to them for even keeping it afloat as long as they did. I mean, I think it's too bad that ultimately they were so close to 500. But really, I look back at last year, I was not surprised looking at their personnel, very much hampered by the fact that Ryan Braun was hurt all year. They're your best offensive player, but I just never was surprised when it didn't end well. But then you watch the San Francisco Giants, who were the low man on the NL totem pole, get into the playoffs, win the whole thing, and it's got to refresh your feeling that all you got to do is get in. You don't have to be spectacular. You get into the playoffs, you get hot, you win a championship.
And isn't that what every team does, though? They hover around 500, but then they have one magical stretch of, you know, 20-7 baseball.
You're right.
To first place.
And so they also had a terrible stretch, which you can't necessarily predict either.
Yeah, and so whether that happens in April or September...
Yeah, no, you're right about
determines
that.
Your it determines the way that people think about your season. Because if they had a sub-500 record for all of the year and then played 20-7 in September but still missed the playoffs, we feel so much better about what they did, even though they're still the same 82-80 missing playoffs.
Yes, yeah, you're absolutely right.
So I just
right
don't think
that.
it's as epic of a collapse... as we're kind of painting it out to be.
When there are 162 outcomes, because a lapse can be a little overdone. I agree with you there.
Yeah.
What as you look at the Brewers season, though, and try to assess where they're going to be, I mean, I really have no expectations for this team. I don't think that they're worse than they were last year, per se. I don't know if they're markedly better, and I think everybody around them is better. So I'd be worried with maybe the exception of the Pirates. I'm not sure they're going to do this again, although I was wrong last year too. I still, I have to think that they're going to be just a middle-of-the-pack team in the NL Central. I don't know if you feel differently. You think they can contend for the playoffs again?
Yeah, I had said, I believe about a month ago, that I think the Brewers will finish in the NL Central in last place.
Oh, you're going all the way to the bottom.
It's not because I think they're a terrible team. It's just because, like you had said, I think everybody else got better.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, towards the end of last year, the Cubs were better than the Brewers. I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah, that goes without saying.
Absolute fact. For sure. So they are better. Cardinals, Reds, same as always. And then, like you said, maybe Pirates. I think the Reds... The Reds were so injured last year.
Yeah.
I mean, they were...
And still had the best pitching, maybe the best pitching in the NL.
And it's going to get better.
It is going to get
because
better.
Because they're getting healthier.
Right. They did lose Latos.
Same with Bruce, Votto, I mean, everybody. So I think the Reds are better. I think the Cardinals are really, really good, which they were better than the Brewers last year. And I think the Pirates can be good as well. So just by default, that's going to put them in last place. That's not the way I feel about the team, but when I stack them against their foes... That's what I come up with.
The Reds, to me, had kind of a confusing offseason where they traded away a couple guys like Latos, Alfredo Simon out of their pitching staff, made moves that made me think they were sort of rebuilding, and then moves that made me think maybe they weren't. So I'm not sure where they stand. I don't think they're going to be very good. And I really thought the Pirates would fall back to earth last year, and they kind of did, but then they rallied there to get into the playoffs. I still think the Brewers are at the Pirates level, if not a little better. I don't think they finish in last place. I don't know what the Cubs are going to do this year. It wouldn't surprise me if they won the division. It wouldn't surprise me if they took last. Right now, they're just a total wild card, relying on so much youth. So that leaves the Brewers possibly in the mix with the Cardinals if a lot of things go their way. I don't think they have enough pieces. I'll be interested to see what they do with their bullpen. They've hinted at moves coming, particularly with the Papelbon buzz that seems to have died down now. But when we see the whole picture, we'll be able to make a little bit better assessment. Still don't know how they're going to be able to win the division.
Yeah, I mean, there's also a ton of room for optimism.
Look at
Ryan Braun will play better than he did last year, you would think. Ramos Ramirez was hurt a lot. Maybe he plays better. Gene Segura probably has to play better because he couldn't really play worse.
He had a good last stretch to the year last year.
And he was an all-star. I mean, two years ago?
Yeah.
So I have to think that he has to play better than last year.
On the shoulders of the one good stretch that he's had.
Scooter Jeanette's finally going to get normal playing time. And anybody who thinks that he can't hit, he can't hit lefty pitching, he's only had like 30 at-bats against him.
Right.
So I think he's going to be better. Adam Lind is remarkably better than any combination of Mark Reynolds and Lyle Overbay.
There's no way not to be.
So I think, and so you can just kind of go case by case, and almost everybody regressed last year. Almost everybody regressed, except for your starting pitching.
Yeah, I agree with that. And now they've traded some of that.
Yeah, and so if you build the right bullpen, if Jimmy Nelson continues his progression much like Willie Peralta did, I feel pretty good about him. It's just that's a lot of things that have to go right.
While we wait for the countdown to opening day, we sort of neglect the month of February as even valuable at all. But there is some pretty good college basketball going on right now. The Wisconsin Badgers survived against Michigan. My wife, a Michigan fan, by the way. We were watching the end of the game at a bar and was very unhappy to see
Parents of the year right there.
Yeah, well, actually, we actually had an opportunity to give our kids to someone else for a few minutes. So
the bartender?
I'm not going to reveal that, but you should definitely take advantage of those opportunities when they arise.
Yeah.
So we actually were out on a little bit of a date night, wound up for a brief moment watching the end of that game at a bar. Very, very disgusting to see my wife happy about it because she is a Michigan fan. But it ended well. The Badgers have certainly had a couple hiccups and then had some pretty good showings, namely against Iowa, which was a
32 points.
A beautiful dismantling of J.P. Kadoran's Hawkeyes.
It was one of those games, I believe, and a couple other people echoed my sentiments, that that was a night where nobody was going to beat Wisconsin.
No, they were perfect.
I mean, offense, defense, depth, everything, coaching, they were just on point, we'll say.
Yep, they were perfect.
And last time I checked, the Big Ten standings do not have wins, losses, and cool points. So Iowa losing cool points does not really affect them. That loss will hurt, but
I mean, I've seen Iowa. Like, yeah. I've seen what their players look like. That team is never going to have cool
points. That's very correct.
They look like Iowa Hawkeyes are supposed to look like. They actually look like Hawkeyes. No, but yeah, I'd be nervous, though, about them going to Carver Hawkeye Arena to play this weekend.
Yeah.
Second time in 11 days. It's certainly not going to be another blowout. And you wonder if they could. They certainly can't match what they did at the Kohl Center. So I would be nervous about that game. It's to me there isn't a single team that can't beat the Badgers in the Big Ten, except for maybe a couple there at the very bottom. But the Badgers are still keeping on.
Like who? Rutgers.
Yeah, and then Rutgers.
Get it? Because then they did beat them.
Right, and then that's Penn funny. State beat Rutgers pretty handily. And I think Penn State could theoretically beat the Badgers. I think Northwestern could even beat the Badgers if they had the right
team. That's why I love college basketball. It is, yeah. Anything can happen. Although Aaron White might not be playing
for Iowa. That would be a problem for Iowa. That would be a problem for Iowa.
And Iowa lost to Purdue as well, and they looked... I mean, they have absolutely no idea what they're doing on offense.
Right.
Which is good, because the Badgers' defense is good at basketball, so that's nice.
I don't know if Purdue could beat the Badgers. Badgers now alone in first place in the Big Ten with Indiana losing. Lots of weird outcomes that you just wouldn't expect. That's very characteristic of the college basketball season. In fact, now that they're talking about Kentucky, you know, looking at their schedule, saying there's a really good chance they'll go undefeated through the regular season. Precisely why I think Kentucky will lose a game. Maybe it's the one against Virginia.
Because of the jinx?
Yeah, there's just no way. Or is it... No, Virginia doesn't play Kentucky. They play Duke, am I right? Duke
and Virginia. That would make sense. ACC teams play each other. SEC teams play each other.
Yes, Kentucky has virtually nothing left on that schedule. Wisconsin has plenty of landmines. Got to get past Maryland. They only play them once this year, so that's a big one. And it's been a fun ride. I'm looking forward to it, but I still go back to it. I just don't feel it. Just doesn't excite me to watch them winning these games, because I know what the tournament is. It's such a crapshoot. It's really hard to feel that winning the Big Ten is anything, because they're expected to get back to the Final Four, and I just don't know. There's no way to predict if that's going to happen.
Well, I kind of I understand your point, but like this past week, you just took a rival who's supposed to be pretty good this year in Iowa, and you destroyed them.
That's true.
And then you went on the road to Michigan, game day atmosphere.
College game day, baby.
In overtime, and you beat them. So I don't really know what more excitement you can get than that.
I'm not saying it's not exciting. It's just
fulfilling?
Because no matter what this team does, they could win the Big Ten by 4 games and be the best Big Ten Badger basketball team of all time. They will not be looked at as a success story unless they get back to the Final Four and maybe even get into the national championship game.
That's so crazy.
But that's the way it's built. That's just the way it's built. With the same team back from one year earlier and having gone to the Final Four.
With the luck that they needed to get to the Final Four, I say that is misguided and wrong.
I'm not
blaming you.
Yeah.
I'm blaming whoever came up with that thought.
I mean,
they're wrong.
They'll be remembered as a very good team if they win the Big Ten. They just will be thought of as a disappointment if they don't find a way to get into the national championship.
You get a banner and everything, don't you?
I think so. I'm sure you can. You could probably buy one, if nothing else.
Fair enough.
What else is going on? What do we have on Time Warner Cable Sports Channel this week?
We have Brewers on Deck, as we have mentioned. We have a feature on Wisconsin Lutheran wrestler Tepra Wright.
Oh, one of the best. Number 2 in Division 2.
120-pound champion of a year ago, and now making a run at 126, I believe. And then we hand out our football play of the year from the fall.
Oh, really?
I can't tell you.
I think I know who that went to.
I can't tell you.
Okay, it's a secret.
I mean, it's already been presented, and it's been on Twitter, and it was at halftime
of our basketball game. If you don't know what it is, it's probably because you don't follow JP Kedorn on Twitter.
Which is, first of all, which is rude.
Criminal.
Yeah,
criminal.
Go ahead and do that.
It's not like you have one of those weird Twitter handles with 14 numbers in it. It's just JP Kedorn.
No. Have you been writing stuff for your thing?
Yeah, occasionally. This week, last week in the Preps Alcove, my weekly column, I actually handed that over to guest writer Evan Frank. He talked to Ben Askren, who is sort of a local celebrity, the Arrowhead Wrestling and former Arrowhead Wrestling state champ, former Olympian as well, who's been training CM Punk. Are you a WWE fan?
That does nothing for me.
Okay, so the WWE is really big for some people.
Nope.
Not necessarily for us, but for some people. And there's a guy named CM Punk who left the WWE, is now taking a shot at actual mixed martial arts competitions. And Ben Askren is training him in some of the wrestling disciplines. So that's what the column is about this week. Next week, I'll be looking at the Packers one more time. Who doesn't want to talk more about the Green Bay Packers and their many reasons why they're not in the Super Bowl.
What if I told you that Ben Askren was in one of my stories this week?
I would not be surprised. Is it the same one about Tepper, right?
It may or may not be.
That's, you like to leave it up to a lot of riddles. You want people to be guessing.
Hashtag tease.
Tepper Wright, by the way, had a huge tournament over the weekend in Wauwatosa. Beat an undefeated kid, Justin Folly of Wauwatosa. So that was a big win for Tepper. He's certainly going to be one of the favorites in D2. I love talking about wrestling. It's one of my favorite sports to cover, especially as we get into the postseason. Conference tournaments begin February 7th, and then the state tournament series after that. So we are getting really, really close to the WIAA postseason, and in the wintertime, that is a lot of fun. So we're going to have a lot of coverage of that. Lots of hoops coverage, of course, at mycommunitynow.com/roundball. All the updates you could need. Joey Archer of West Allis Hale is our player of the week this week.
Congratulations.
Yes, you don't get a trophy. You don't even get to be on TV or anything. You get your picture on the website.
I'm going to go put him on TV now.
You could. West Allis Hale's an interesting case. I think they're like 10-4. They just won 3 games this week. So
no, I only do 2 losses or less.
Oh, I see. Little... You're an elitist. Well, West Allis Hale has...
Nice job, Waukesha West girls. Way to keep it going.
Yeah, they have one loss, the first loss of the year to the Waukesha West girls against Milwaukee King. So now we officially have more than one contender for that Division I crown. West was number one, undisputed for quite some time, and King got in there and got a win. So some big classic 8 games remaining. Kettle Moraine against Muskego, too. I think the more surprising teams in the area, they meet on Friday, January 30th at Muskego. Kettle Moraine won the first time. I think I might be going to that game.
What?
And we'll
celebrity sighting.
It's true. Come find me. If not, follow me on Twitter. And I'm also an easy Twitter follow, J.R. Radcliffe. At J.R. Radcliffe. At J.P. Cadore.
How many R's?
There's 2 R's.
J. Radcliffe?
No. J.R. Radcliffe.
J.R. R. Radcliffe. Is that it?
No. Now you've added a third R that doesn't need to be there by beginning the word Radcliffe.
Are there 2 M's? Pam. Panned.
Thank you for listening, everybody. Appreciate it. And we'll be back at you again very soon.
Goodbye, friends.